He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Dr. Brown, what in the world would I do without you? How are you?
I'm well. I hope you had a nice 4th of July.
I did. How about you, my guy?
Very good.
Good.
Very good.
Love to hear it. I love to hear it. Okay. This is why I need you for many, many things. But what I love about you is when I can't say medical words, you don't make fun of me. You just kind of finish the word for me. Okay, cool. So in the last 24 hours, Connecticut health officials are kind of sounding the alarm for people to thoroughly wash their fresh produce because the state has reported 23 cases of what, Dr. Brown?
Is this the cyclospora?
I don't know how to say that word. What is it? It's
cyclospora.
Yeah, I don't know how to say that. Yeah. I don't know. It's just not working for me. I'm seeing the letters. I'm sounding it out. It's not working out for me. First of all, what is this?
Yeah, so cyclospora is actually a common, freak people out when I say this. It's a common parasite. And
perfect.
You think, oh, what are we doing with parasites in Connecticut? I mean, don't they know they can't come in here?
Yeah, right.
I mean,
seriously.
I was gonna make a New Jersey joke, but I'm not gonna.
Nice job, Dr. Brown. Love that self control. Nice job.
It is actually a pretty common parasite. There's Cyclospora and Isospora bella. Those are two very common parasites that can contaminate water. And therefore, if it can contaminate water, it can contaminate produce.
Mm.
And that becomes an issue. Once a person has it, then they can potentially spread it to other people. Again, big issues is always, washing hands is a big issue, or using contaminated water.
Mm.
It can lead to a pretty significant, GI illness.
Okay. So I understand how it spreads. I shouldn't ask that question, but where does it sort of come from? Would it come from the water source? Like, is it something? So when they say to wash your food thoroughly, part of me feels like, well, wait a minute. Isn't that how the produce is getting it? How is it ending up on the produce? I'm confused by this.
So there's a lot of different ways that this can actually happen where, if you just sort of wash it off, rinse it off. It's actually interesting. You ever read the packages of your salad or the box salads and
sure.
It says triple washed? Again, I don't condone or know exactly what they're saying by triple washed, but that's, I think what they're trying to imply is that not only is it washed, but it is washed, submerged, and cleaned multiple times. Most produce is pretty much sprayed, washed with water, and then off it goes to be shipped. The problem is that if the water is contaminated at all with just a tiny amount of microbes, what happens is that microbe can overgrow.
Okay.
And that becomes the issue. So it's not really an issue of, oh, you know what, there's some cyclospora guy out there going around, touching
well,
all
so,
the, you know,
I, no,
getting
but I'm
a whole
glad
bunch of bacteria
it,
on it.
Because when
or
they
a
say,
bunch of
like,
parasites on it.
Right. Well, because when they're saying, like, wash your produce, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that makes sense. But then when it's like, it can be found in water, I'm thinking to myself, well, so are we talking about where, you know how they, like the PFAS, they're always like, oh, watch out for your water, like make sure our water is healthy. That's where I was confused by them. Like, is this something that we would be detecting in our water systems or no? You're talking about
I'm talking about at some point in the food
in
chain.
In the process transport.
In the processing transport, there is a period of time where there's a delay. During that period of delay, and this actually happens a lot in food microbes. And this is why we need to be really careful. This is why temperatures are really important. But if you can't maintain that temperature, let's say it's, increased water and it's warmer. Well, that happened. Then there's a possibility that bacteria, in this case, parasite, can overgrow. It divides. It's got a nice source. It's actually on a food source. So it's not like it's not able to do that. So those are one of the concerns that you have with any organism.
I see. Okay. And so The other question I have with this, Dr. Brown, is it says since July 1st, there's been 23 cases of it here in Connecticut, more than 100 cases reported across the country. Is this probably underreported? I'd imagine it is.
It probably is. Unfortunately, with food poisoning, because this kind of fits into that same category, mm-hmm. the symptoms can vary depending on the amount that you're actually, the amount that you end up having in your GI tract. So if you have a lot of the organism, or you have your immune system doesn't fight it off, then it can produce, and then it can lead to pretty significant illness. And again, a lot of it is lower GI, so diarrhea, cramping, nausea, and vomiting. Fatigue, those are all sort of the things that you would expect to see with this. The problem is that, listen, it's a common thing to have. Most people wait a few days and it goes away when you have sort of these viruses that float around. In this case, it's the one that doesn't. I will tell you from the medical field, this is one of those illnesses that a lot of times the majority of the microbe that's causing this, usually a virus, goes away pretty quickly. So it's not something that we, even as providers, jump all over right away. It's something that's just, okay, let's watch, make sure you stay hydrated, make sure you get your electrolytes well. If it persists or you have a fever or if you have severe symptoms, then you need to come visit us.
We are chatting with Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health, our infectious disease expert on the show. And I feel like every year, at least once or twice a year, Dr. Brown, you would know better because your mind is like an elephant. It's crazy. You never forget. Once again, coming up in the news, the number of Legionnaires' cases in an outbreak on Manhattan's Upper East Side continuing to increase. There are now 28 confirmed cases across three zip codes. I don't remember where you and I talked about this last. It was definitely on the East Coast. I don't think it was New York,
absolutely.
Though. But we talk about this every single year. First of all, is this a summer thing? Does this usually happen in the summer?
Thing. Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is the one. And I'm sure when I start telling you, you're like, I remember this one. So this is the organism. So one, it's a bacteria, right? Because we like to say, is it a bacteria, fungi, or a parasite? So it's a bacteria. So it's actually in a category called an atypical bacteria. Legionnaires' disease is actually caused by an organism called Legionella.
Mm-hmm.
Legionella is actually, I'm not going to say like very common, but is common, common enough for us to every time someone comes in with a pneumonia, we always make sure that we have some mechanisms to treat it with antibiotics. So the reason why you're seeing outbreaks is this organism is a water-loving organism.
Is this the air conditioning unit one?
This is the air conditioning.
This is air conditioning unit. Yeah.
I told you you'd get it.
As soon as you started saying it, I was like, wait a minute. This is the, and I think that case, don't quote me, but I want to say the case that we were talking about was an outbreak because there was either an apartment complex or a hotel or something using the same, and I want to say it was in Virginia. Oh gosh, I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like that on the East Coast. Same sort of deal but it was coming from the air conditioning.
Where it happens, it's stagnant water. You know, air conditioning that probably can't keep up with the coolness, doesn't get cold enough, doesn't matter because Legionella doesn't care if it's that cool. It won't, can't freeze, but it doesn't, you know, get cool. And then what happens is then the air conditioning, that stagnant water gets into the air conditioning, and then it aerosolizes. So that means it goes into the air, and then people who are susceptible end up getting it. So Legionnaires' disease was initially named after a Legionnaires' convention in New York City. Where they ended up having poor air conditioning. This is the first time it actually occurred. And it was a major outbreak of Legionnaires who ended up getting it and ended up getting sick. And it usually fits in that category, usually people who are older than 50, typically male, typically smokers, but it can be anybody, but those are the typical features of it.
Okay. I mean, is there anything that we should be, at this point, I would imagine Connecticut residents have already put their air conditioning units in. But do they, I mean, if I would imagine they emptied them and checked them. Like if most people do that before they take
the most
them
important
out,
thing.
Right?
You got to make sure you make sure that you're checking them, that they're functioning properly, that they're properly leveled. That's really important. And make sure there's no stagnant water in or around it. So you don't want your outdoor air conditioner around stagnant water. So stagnant water is kind of one of those key features associated with it. And it can be with pipes. And we have a pretty robust, especially in the state of Connecticut, very robust mechanism in making sure and determining if Legionella is in high-risk areas or even areas that we would be more concerned. So hospitals have a very extensive testing mechanisms to make sure Legionella isn't present. I believe school systems also have a pretty rigorous mechanism to make sure that there's none of these organisms that are there.
Okay. And again, this is what I love about Dr. Brown. Not only is he peace of mind in the medical field, and he gives us all the answers that we need about what's going on. Love that about you. You also don't judge me. You're such a nice friend to me. I am blanking right now. I'm blanking on the name of it. It's not a diffuser. Diffusers are like where you put oils, essential oils and things like that out to make the room smell good. What is the thing that doctors will say, like, if your kids are really congested?
Oh, a nebulizer?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I'm not helping you whatsoever. So they'll say, like, put them in a... You are not.
Yeah, it's just like a humidifier.
Humidifier. There it is. I knew you'd get there. I knew you'd land that plane. Thank God for you. So why doesn't this happen in humidifiers?
And this is why we... So there's a couple reasons. One is because it's clean water, it's usually a non-issue. So we don't really use that much in the humidifier land. Do you need to be careful about humidifiers? Absolutely. The other piece is that just like with the cyclospora we spoke about earlier, it depends who's using the humidifier.
Okay.
If we're using it for, you know, if you're taking tap water and children, usually children don't get Legionella, and it still needs to be stagnant. And a lot of times it's not stagnant water that we're using, and there's not enough of this organism. And most of the time it's not even in our water system enough to do anything. We do need to be really careful with humidifiers. And again, nebulizers, humidifiers that are, our chronic illness patients have, our COPD, so chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, they sometimes have humidifiers that are part of their process. But we use sterile water for that now. We don't use tap water for that. So we don't see random outbreaks related to it. And it's interesting because it is an organism, as I mentioned earlier, it is an organism that we see not all that uncommonly. However, it's the outbreaks that are the concern. So things that we can prevent. So in this case, we want to, you know, in New York, we want to make sure that there's something that is dysfunctional and it's spreading bacteria to everybody and they're breathing and getting sick, where there are sort of these scattered, sporadic infections with this organism that are sort of same organism but unrelated to sort of this outbreak aspect.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. Actually, no, this is why I love talking to you, because you make a lot of sense, even though I am not a doctor. I feel like I'm more medically trained because I've been talking to you for 7 years now. So, yes, it does make sense.
Absolutely.
You know, as we're talking about water really quickly, Dr. Brown, I do have a quick question for you. Because we are in the summer season, and typically, just because we're on the topic of water, people who leave, you know, water bottles in hot places, cars, what have you, is there still a level of bacteria or danger in drinking like water from a bottle that has not been correctly refrigerated, especially if it's plastic? Is that still a concern?
You know what? The answer is it's a low concern, but I would say if it's cloudy, throw it out.
If it's cloudy, I mean, if anyone's drinking cloudy water, cut that out right away.
Listen, you'd be surprised, Melissa.
Okay. All right. Fair. You've seen it all. I have not.
I've seen botulism outbreaks or a patient with botulism because he decided that, you know what, that he wanted to eat the canned turkey.
Okay. Fair. Yep. I'm not even going to comment on that. No judgment here. All right.
Not our state, but I would tell you that, yes,
you've seen it all. Fair.
In general, no. I mean, if it's got a seal, it should actually be fine. But you know, you always have to be cautious. You know, so water shouldn't have any taste. So if it has a taste, it needs to be thrown out. Water shouldn't have any color. If it does, then it needs to be thrown out.
I always check on that because I just had an argument the other day with my kid, because I'll sometimes have a water bottle, you know, either from work or from whatever, it doesn't matter. And I won't finish it, but it's sealed back up. It's sitting in my car, and like a day later he'll get out of camp and be like, "Mom, I'm so thirsty. Can I have that water?" And I'm like, "No. And he gets so mad at me. And I'm like, no, I'm not having you get sick for no reason. Like, we'll be home in 15 minutes. This sounds like a you problem. You should have filled up your water bottle while you were at camp. I did need to check that. You know, I did tell him I would check that. And I'm like, oh, you know, we're talking about water. Let's check on that. So I could give him the water bottle. It wasn't cloudy. It was fine.
Yeah,
it was just in the hot car for a day.
Yeah, you should be fine.
You know what? This doesn't help me because now he's right and I'm wrong. So that doesn't help me at all.
I mean, honestly, you're probably being more cautious was probably better.
You're like, here's the thing. I'm not going to appease Chase. I don't need Melissa mad at me. So you know what? Good job. Good job not giving him the hot water bottle. No, that's good to know, honestly, because you do have those desperate times where you're like, man, I just need a drink of water. And I honestly do. I teeter. I'm like, is this bad or is this good? Am I killing someone? Like, I don't want to do that. You know my stress. You get it.
Yes, I know. Don't worry. We still have good antibiotics when appropriate.
Fantastic. Thank God for that. And thank God for you, Dr. Fred Brown, Griffin Health. Always love chatting with you. Thank you so much. And we will talk again next week.
My pleasure.
All right. Dr. Brown again right here on WICC. I guess you can have the water bottle. Ugh, man. I don't like being wrong. But if it's cloudy, it wasn't cloudy. It's okay.